This is Jay Sekulow. Today's the day for the vote for the Palestinian Authority at the United Nations.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Israel is prepared to live in peace with a Palestinian state. But for peace to endure, Israel's security must be protected. The Palestinians must recognize the Jewish state, and they must be prepared to end the conflict with Israel once and for all. These vital interests of peace, none of them appear in the resolution that will be put forward before the General Assembly today. As for the rights of the Jewish people in this land, I have a simple message for those gathered in the General Assembly today. No decision by the UN can break the 4,000-year-old bond between the people of Israel and the land of Israel.
Direct negotiations is the DNA of Israeli-Palestinian political process. Any attempt to exert external pressure on Israel would serve as a setback to those who are really interested in peace. If what you're interested in is public relations, then this whole thing is just an exercise in futility.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. We are going to be dealing with the issues, and we want to get you a full understanding of what is going on this afternoon and this evening and maybe even into tomorrow at the United Nations. The Palestinian Authority has officially moved for a resolution that is very broad in scope. In fact, that resolution is so broad that it includes not just the establishment of a Palestinian state, which we'll get into the legal issues on that, but also requires a dividing of Jerusalem, the return to the pre-67 borders, which means a release by Israel of the Golan Heights, which are hugely significant strategically. Let's first get a sense of what is going to go on in New York today. Let me go right to Than Bennett, the head of our government affairs in Washington, D.C. Than, it says around 3:30, 4 o'clock this afternoon. It could be later, of course. What's the sense of what is going to happen procedurally?
Well, listen. Yeah, about 3 o'clock, the debate on this measure is expected to start. Jay, sometimes it's hard to tell how long that will take. It depends how many nations stand up, how many want to verbally express their opinion. But you're right. As early as 3:30 or 4 o'clock, we could see a vote on this measure. It is expected to pass. But, Jay, as we've been saying this week, it's very important that we watch the vote of the UK, the vote of other nations, and also the members of the Security Council, if they give an indication of what they will do if this bid is then pushed to the Security Council. But sometime around 4 o'clock, maybe 5, maybe 6 o'clock, you're going to see this vote on the floor of the General Assembly.
All right, right now we have confirmed, but these could be changed. Germany is a no, but they may go to abstain, which is still basically a no. Netherlands is a no. Czech Republic is expected to be a no. The United States is a no. Canada is not only a no, but very aggressive about it. In fact, the Prime Minister of Canada or their Foreign Minister may want to take to the floor of the United Nations today. Belgium, Estonia, and Lithuania have said no. So, again, we're looking at what is the United Kingdom going to do. We've sent out letters on that. Skip, what's your sense with the UK? They've got a kind of an interesting situation here. They said that they were not opposed to the idea of this resolution, but when they read the resolution and saw all of these add-ons, that's when they got concerned.
They really did get concerned because it goes way beyond what they had expected, what we all had expected. And the issue for them was this issue, if the Palestinians could get everything they've asked for at the UN, then that has implications with respect to the International Criminal Court and the ability of the Palestinians to accede to those principles and then possibly bring Israeli soldiers before an international tribunal for alleged war crimes.
Yeah, which would be disastrous. David French is here with me in the media studio. I'm going to go to David right after the break here, folks. Let me tell you what we're doing. We are going to keep this petition up through today because we are going to keep pressure on specifically the United Kingdom. So here's what I'd like you to do. If you've not yet signed on, and hundreds of, 135,000 of you, probably with phone calls, we're probably approaching 170,000 phone calls. Folks, we could be at 200,000 signatures on this petition. We need you to stand with us. Here's the number. If you haven't stood with Israel on this petition to the UN, you need to do so right now. 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. But folks, we're going to update these member countries today. 877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
Thank you. A new threat to Israel is growing. Two terrorist groups, Hamas and the Palestinian Liberation Organization, lead the Palestinian government. They have a stated goal of destroying the Israeli people. Now they are pressing the United Nations to grant it statehood. A new terrorist-led nation on Israel's border could be a deadly threat. The ACLJ is launching a global effort. With offices in New York, Jerusalem, and Washington, D.C., the ACLJ is uniquely positioned to stand with Israel and work to counter this new and dangerous threat. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to our petition, urging President Obama to reject the creation of a Palestinian state. A move that not only violates the UN's own charter, but international law as well. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardacani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're talking about what is going to happen at the United Nations this afternoon, and that is a move for a resolution to pass regarding the status of Palestine. It's this non-member state creation, but it goes much, much more. It's the establishment of Jerusalem as the capital of this new state of Palestine. They would get East Jerusalem, which means all the holy sites, by the way, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the Temple Mount, the I mean, as someone that goes to Israel a lot, I'm almost speechless realizing that you could have Hamas-controlled governments controlling these holy sites, including the Western Wall. I mean, this would be unprecedented. They did not just ask for, as I said, the Palestinian Authority just didn't ask for some kind of statehood recognition. They went much further. So we've got about 127,000, almost 128,000 of you have signed online. Another 40,000 people have contacted us by phones. You need to do so. We can really, I think we're very close to 200,000. Go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And sign that petition at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. The resolution, David, talks about the peaceful settlement of the question of Palestine. But when you look at it and you read it, you realize this is basically Israel having to surrender its strategic defense initiatives that protect the country.
All right. This isn't the peaceful settlement of a dispute. This is the attempt to use the UN to engineer ultimately, really, the destruction of Israel. Because also within that resolution is reference to the right of return, the status of Palestinian refugees, which could represent the demographic destruction of Israel as a Jewish state. So this is something Israel is not going to comply with what the UN will vote on here. Israel is going to continue to defend itself, but it's going to place Israel in a terrible position diplomatically around the world.
You're absolutely right. And you talk about the diplomatic issues, the political issues here. Let me go to Than on this. I think, Than, a lot of this is political posturing by the Palestinian Authority, specifically Mahmoud Abbas, because he realizes the effect of this is going to be non-existent, especially if some of the Security Council members say no, and Israel's not going to recognize him, nor is this going to have this force of law. But there's this political consequence of what's going on, and you've been concerned about the U.S., which is saying all the right things right now. They're saying, no, we're not going to support this, we're going to vote no, but we are a big funder of the Palestinian Authority.
Exactly correct. There's really two components of this, Jay. One is the one you just touched on. It's largely symbolic in a way because they still won't meet the definition of a state, so they're not legally a state. But it does go beyond symbolism when you start talking about what the next step is, Jay, because I'm telling you, they're going to immediately take this to the Security Council and ask for full member status at the United Nations. The only thing standing in the way of the Security Council approving that, which they tried last year, by the way, was a United States veto. Now, the United States is opposing the vote today, but they are the only member of the P5 on the Security Council that has been willing to veto vehemently. And the Obama administration, Jay, they have not threatened that veto this time. And Senator Inhofe and others have said that in their conversations with Susan Rice, they believe that she personally favors this statehood status. So a year or two from now, is the United States still going to be willing to veto? I'm not so sure. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm worried about it too, Skip. Let me ask you this. How political is this move for the PA? I mean, what are they trying to create globally and politically here?
Well, this is a significant political statement. Remember that the General Assembly has no legal authority to create states. It's the UN has no such authority, but it will
be. I want everybody to hear that again, and we've got this posted at ACLJ.org. Can the United Nations create a state?
Absolutely not. The United Nations is more of a political organization. They can make political statements, they can make political issues and raise political issues, but they are not a legal body, and because they're not a legal body, they have no authority to create statehood. They have no authority to determine capitals. They have no authority to determine boundaries, but that's exactly symbolically what the Palestinians are asking for. So what the General Assembly does today will be a political nullity, but it has significance with respect to the psychological move on the part of the Palestinians, and that may increase their status around the world and with other international organizations.
Folks, again, I want to encourage you to stand with us. We've got almost 128,000 of you online. Signatures alone, we're probably another 40 or maybe even 50,000 signatures on the phones. We are right at 180,000 signatures on this petition. We are letting these governments know, especially the United Kingdom. We'd like to see a no or abstention there. That would be a big victory. If you've not signed the petition, folks, you need to do it today to defend Israel, and you're hearing the reasons why on this broadcast. Go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. We encourage you to call today. Riyad Mansour is the Palestinian ambassador to the United Nations. Here is what he had to say.
What we are doing is honorable, is legal, is political, is multilateral, is democratic. So therefore, once the international community expresses its will by an overwhelming support to changing our status and recognizing the state of Palestine, it should be respected.
David, how do you respond to that?
You know, there's almost nothing that is true in this. I mean, not even the prepositions are true here. I mean, this is a direct violation of treaty.
Yeah, well, one thing is true. It is political. I'll give them that. That is
they're
true. Trying to do. It's certainly not legal, but it is political. But go ahead.
It's a direct violation of a treaty. And I'm going to say a sentence I never thought I'd ever utter in my life. I wish the United States had as much moral conviction in this as Canada does.
Isn't that something? Canada, by the way, I want to point this out, has been not only strong about this, as I said earlier in broadcast, they are contemplating sending out either their foreign minister or their prime minister today, probably be foreign minister or maybe their UN representative, to go to the floor of the UN to address this. Skip, let's talk at the legal side here. They say what they're doing is legal, political, multilateral, and is democratic. Your response to that?
Well, it's definitely not legal. They have, you know, they are given even any status as an observer at the UN. An exception was made for them back in 1974 for the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO. So they're being given grace just to be there at all, because the whole purpose of the United Nations was to have states get together and to interact. They've never been a state. They're not a state now. And now they're seeking, because they have been there, they want them to go the next step and say, since you've been here so long, you're a state and you should be part of us. And that's absolutely unconscionable with respect to the law, because they don't meet any of the criteria that are required in international law for statehood.
All right. So let's look at those requirements for statehood, and we'll do that in the next segment of the broadcast. But let me go to Than on this. Than, procedurally, you expect the vote to be today and tomorrow. What do you expect the reaction to be within the UN?
Well, the reaction with a large majority of these countries is going to be favorable. Remember, that OIC block of countries, they really don't care what this resolution says.
I see. It's the Organization of Islamic Cooperation.
They call it, it used to be the Organization for the Islamic Conference. Now it's the Islamic Cooperation. It's 68 member states, Islamic bloc countries, Jay, that vote in unison, vote in lockstep. Remember, they're the ones that led that defamation of religions charge in years past. We beat that back. They've now kind of gathered around this statehood recognition. They are going to support the Palestinian Authority no matter what this resolution says. That's largely why it's going to pass today, Jay. But here's what people need to pay attention to. Everybody wants the violence to stop. This is not going to do that.
No.
So that's the reaction coming out of this resolution that people need to pay attention to. It's not going to bring a lasting peace. The only thing that would do that is negotiations with Israel, which the PA has walked away from.
Skip and David, there's four requirements under conventions that recognize what constitutes a state. And let's talk about this. Skip, we'll start with you first. Go quickly over those four factors, and we're going to talk about how those don't apply here. I mean, they're not in the PA just doesn't meet them.
Okay, under customary international law, there are four factors. One is a permanent population, one is a defined territory, one is a functioning government, and one is a capacity to enter relations with other states. In no wise does the Palestinian Authority meet any of these criteria.
Now,
there is no.
They're going to say, well, wait a minute. Here's the argument. Didn't the United Nations create the State of Israel? That's going to be the argument you're hearing from the Palestinian Authority, Skip.
Well, I know they're going to say that, but the United Nations gave them the opportunity to form a state in 1947 under the Resolution 181, and the Arabs, all the Arabs, to include the Palestinian Arabs, rejected it outright. Now they're going back and saying, okay, well, precipitous. Let's go back and
redo 1947. You don't get to do that, David.
But the problem is that also called for the creation of a Jewish state, something that the Palestinians absolutely refuse to recognize, and it also placed Jerusalem under international control, which is something else they refuse to recognize.
So I mean, you've got this dual standard here, David. In 20 seconds here, is this just a political move?
Oh, it's pure politics, but it's dangerous politics, because one of the other things that it does is it raises expectations in the Palestinian population as to what the process should result in. And it raises expectations that cannot possibly be met.
No, it's not going to be. Folks, all right, we're going to be getting into some more of this. We're going to hear from some statements from Benjamin Netanyahu on this, very powerful. But, folks, again, we are about 180,000 signatures, maybe more, maybe 185,000. We want to get to 200 by today. Go to ACLJ.org. If you want to stand with Israel, make sure we don't have a divided Jerusalem, a return of the Golan Heights, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Sign that petition now.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this, because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. A new threat to Israel is growing. Two terrorist groups, Hamas and the Palestinian Liberation Organization, lead the Palestinian government. They have a stated goal of destroying the Israeli people. Now they are pressing the United Nations to grant it statehood. A new terrorist-led nation on Israel's border could be a deadly threat. The ACLJ is launching a global effort with offices in New York, Jerusalem, and Washington, D.C. The ACLJ is uniquely positioned to stand with Israel and work to counter this new and dangerous threat. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to our petition, urging President Obama to reject the creation of a Palestinian state.
a move that not only violates the UN's own charter, but international law as well. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Let me give some big news that we're going to talk about coming up in the next 30 minutes of the broadcast, and we'll get more into this next week. We had a major, major, major victory at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit just yesterday. It was involving a challenge to the HHS mandate, the Health and Human Services mandate, as part of Obamacare. We took an emergency order up to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals and got an injunction against the enforcement of this provision of the Obamacare. This is huge. We don't know yet what the Department of Justice is going to do. I'm going to be talking to Jeff Surtees and Frank Mannion in the next segments of the broadcast, a little bit later in the broadcast, so you'll want to stay tuned in for that. Next week, we're going to get into that in length on what that means, so we'll keep you posted there. All right, let me play for everybody, and then we're going to get everybody's comments. This is Prime Minister Netanyahu made two statements. I want to hear both of them together. Let's go take a listen, and then we're going to comment on it. This is the Prime Minister of the State of Israel.
Israel is prepared to live in peace with a Palestinian state. But for peace to endure, Israel's security must be protected. The Palestinians must recognize the Jewish state, and they must be prepared to end the conflict with Israel once and for all. These vital interests of peace, none of them appear in the resolution that will be put forward before the General Assembly today. As for the rights of the Jewish people in this land, I have a simple message for those gathered in the General Assembly today. No decision by the UN can break the 4,000-year-old bond between the people of Israel and the land of Israel.
So you are looking, folks, at a real statement from a real leader, Benjamin Netanyahu. I want to play for you again the last part of that about the bond between Israel and the Jewish people.
As for the rights of the Jewish people in this land, I have a simple message for those gathered in the General Assembly today. No decision by the UN can break the 4,000-year-old bond between the people of Israel and the land of Israel.
All right, folks, what I need you to do, you heard what Benjamin Netanyahu said. We know there's going to be negative action coming out of the UN. We are pushing hard as it relates to the United Kingdom, and I think we could well get an abstention here, which would be a victory, but I need your help on this. We need your help. Go to aclj.org and sign on to this petition, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Skip to you first, then to David. You listen to the statement from the Prime Minister, the bond between Israel and the Jewish people and the land of Israel, the lack of Palestinian willingness to negotiate. Remember, the Israeli Skip said they would put us no preconditions to meeting, and the Palestinian Authority still said no.
Well, that's exactly right. And remember, under the closing days of the Clinton administration, the Yasser Arafat got almost 98% of what he asked for, and he still turned it down. And he turned it down because they want 100%. They want everything. They want what they're demanding, so that in turn, Israel will be at a disadvantage, and sooner or later, Israel will be attacked and defeated. And that's that. The whole issue of borders is the key issue here, so that 1967 boundaries were indefensible, and Israel cannot survive in those boundaries.
Well, I'll tell you, that which rates a whole situation here, David, I think that becomes very significant, because the reality is, as this vote goes forward, and Than said this, it builds up these expectations of the Palestinian people. You've said that. We've all said this, and it's just not going to happen. There's right. going to be no substantive change. In fact, it could create more tension.
Well, that's exactly right. And the other thing that's really important about the Prime Minister's statement there is when he reminds people of the 4,000-year-old bond. Let's not forget, and a lot of Americans don't know this, you know, the Palestinians deny the historic connection between Jews and the land of Israel. They deny that there was a temple there. They deny that there was a Jewish state in Israel. They deny all of that history. Many of them also deny the Holocaust, for example. So there is a long game being played here. There's a strategic game they play where they're trying to weaken Israel, and then there's a moral game they play where they try to deprive Israel of any historic connection to the land.
All right, so Than, we've got this vote coming up. The sun will come up tomorrow. The vote could be either today or tomorrow. Do you see any political shifting in Congress? What do you think is going to happen once this, quote, Palestinian non-member state for UN purposes is recognized. What do you anticipate?
I am hoping, Jay, that this effort will be led by Congress, that Congress will come forward and will force the administration's hand on this, because I'm pretty convinced that the administration is weak, that they're wobbly on this. And I would like to see Republicans and Democrats who back Israel, who defend Israel, force the president's hand on this. And just to follow up on what David said, Jay, Prime Minister Netanyahu specifically mentioned the recognition of Israel, because not only does the PA refuse to acknowledge Israel, they specifically call for the annihilation of Israel. Can you imagine adding another member to your institution that believes another practicing existing member in good standing right. should be destroyed? That's what's happening here. So it's not only recognition, they proactively wanted to destroy Israel.
Yeah,
that's
but let me take it even a step further. Remember this. After the bombings that just took place, the rockets and the missiles coming out of Gaza, Fatah leadership acknowledged, now this is Mahmoud Abbas's party, this is the one asking for Palestinian statehood, they acknowledged that they participated in those rockets. So you've got Hamas, who's a partner of the Palestinian Authority, calling for the destruction of Israel. You've got Fatah, that's not technically calling for the destruction of Israel, but is working with the group that is in partnership with and lobbing bombs and missiles into Israel. And at the same time, they're asking for recognition from the UN. Here is what our State Department, when asked the question, had to say about this.
You're saying that this will get them farther from the two-state solution.
That's
why,
the concern.
Why is that? How does a observer membership really sort of an obstacle towards having negotiation starting?
It inflames the situation between the parties, makes it harder for them to come to the table, makes the political situation harder between them.
The major thing that Ms. Nolan, the spokesman for the State Department, ignored was that by doing this, the Palestinian Authority is repudiating the Oslo Accords, which was the framework upon which a two-state solution was to be met. And that she ignores. That the State Department ignored. And, Than, I think that's what you're concerned about here. They're making these statements, but they're not answering the real question is, there's a problem here because the Palestinian Authority signed on to agreements that they're now repudiating by the action they're taking.
Yeah, that's substantively fine, but they left out a couple of points. They left out the veto threat at the Security Council. Jay, the other thing they left out, current U.S. law says we cannot fund the Palestinians if there is an upgrade, or the U.N., if there is an upgrade in the Palestinian Authority's status. That would happen today. The State Department should have said, as soon as this happens, they lose U.S. funding. I think that will happen anyway, Jay, but I'm concerned about the toned-down message
yep.
that they're sending. I think they're setting the stage for further compromises in the future.
All right, folks, here's what we want you to do. If you've not yet joined with about 187,000 citizens from around the country that are standing with Israel, which is an impressive number, folks, we want to get to 200,000 by today. You go to ACLJ.org. You sign that petition standing with Israel. It says no to a divided Jerusalem. It says no to the creation of a new terrorist-led Palestinian Authority state, which will actually be controlled mostly by Hamas. And it says no to a surrender of the Golan Heights. If you haven't signed it yet, I need you to go to your phones right now and call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org. Folks, stay tuned also. We're here for another 30 minutes. So if you're on SiriusXM, just keep listening there. If not, go to ACLJ.org. We'll be streaming it live. But folks, this is the day that counts. Last day for you to sign on to this. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255 for your voice to be heard at the UN. Again, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
Stand with Israel and work to counter this new and dangerous threat. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to our petition, urging President Obama to reject the creation of a Palestinian state, a move that not only violates the UN's own charter, but international law as well. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
We will.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're talking about this move by the Palestinian Authority, and let me say this up front here. We've got, we're going to have in just a few moments, Jeff Surtees, who's a senior counsel at the ACLJ, as well as Frank Mannion, who's also senior counsel, talk about a major win at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit in this HHS mandate. But I want to finish up this conversation on Israel because we just started it. Let me play for you a statement by the Consul General of Israel, Ido Aroni. Jordan met with him just a week and a half ago when I was meeting with Danny Aylon, the deputy foreign minister. Jordan was meeting with Consul General Ido Aroni. Here's what he's had to say about this negotiation.
Direct negotiations is the DNA of Israeli-Palestinian political process. Any attempt to exert external pressure on Israel would serve as a setback to those who are really interested in peace. If what you're interested in is public relations, then this whole thing is just an exercise in futility.
So let me go around the horn here quickly. David, is this a public relations move, more than even a political move?
Oh, it's pure public relations, which is politics.
Right.
I mean, it's trying to sway world opinion, and it's very importantly for the PA trying to sway Palestinian opinion to try to win Palestinians back over to Fatah and away from Hamas. And so this is internal Palestinian politics as well as international politics.
And Skip, you don't anticipate, I take it, anything coming out of this of any substance.
I do not. I think what's going to happen here is that this type of a move, if successful, is going to derail the peace process, and it's going to put off indefinitely the creation of a Palestinian state, something that Israel's already approved in principle. So it's this is going to come to the – they're going to be sad that they pursued this because it's going to lead to
results
they did not
anticipate. So what's the legal consequence of this? Let's say the resolution passes. What's the legal consequence?
The legal consequence, at least initially, is going to be nothing because they have no authority to do it. Now, the problem we have in the development of international law is that customary international law develops over time as people begin to think certain things are true. And if they create an impression or a movement that over time moves the international community to think that this is the truth and law, and they begin to treat it like law, it may have some long-term significance, but it's not going to have any short-term significance other than derail the talks.
All right, so the implications of this are legally, substantively nothing other than it's going to create more tension and derail the process. So, Than, what do you anticipate? Let's say this, assume this passes tomorrow. What do you anticipate happening on Capitol Hill?
Well, I think you saw the first move of this from Senator Hatch this morning when he actually introduced an amendment to the defense bill that would strip the Palestinian Authority of U.S. funding. I think you will see that attempt ratchet up. I also think you will see the House probably put on hold some of this funding for the Palestinians. Listen, that's something that they did in the past, Jay, and Secretary Clinton ignored them and released the funding anyway. So I think it's going to set off a fight on Capitol Hill between Congress, who's going to want to cut off funding, and the administration, who's going to want to release
it. Let me ask you this specifically. What specifically has Senator Hatch's proposal, what does it say?
It says that if the UN approves this measure tomorrow, if they upgrade the status of the Palestinian Authority, all U.S. funding would be cut off. That's about $500 million a year. Cut off to the Palestinian Authority.
I mean, that's pretty dramatic. I mean, you take that, we've got to, and the one last thing, Than. The money released to Egypt, the $1.5 billion, status as of today?
Still on hold. Still on hold, thanks to Jim Jordan and Ileana Ross-Layton.
I'm telling you, folks, when you speak out, your voice matters. I mean, we've held this. Has been months now. So we're finally going to be able to, you know, we're finally being able to get into a situation where your voice is being heard. But here is the number for you to make sure your voice is heard on this matter with the UN. It's 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. You can easily go there, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255 to have your voice heard on this issue. We will, of course, give you a full analysis on this tomorrow on the broadcast because obviously the ramifications will be significant. So we'll have a full analysis for you tomorrow. Coming up in just a moment, Jeff Surtees and Frank Mannion, a major win at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit on the HHS mandate. And then at the end of the broadcast, some incredible interviews from Israeli government officials and others on the situation with Iran. We've got a lot to talk about ahead.
A
A new threat to Israel is growing. Two terrorist groups, Hamas and the Palestinian Liberation Organization, lead the Palestinian government. They have a stated goal of destroying the Israeli people. Now they are pressing the United Nations to grant it statehood. A new terrorist-led nation on Israel's border could be a deadly threat. The ACLJ is launching a global effort with offices in New York, Jerusalem, and Washington, D.C. The ACLJ is uniquely positioned to stand with Israel and work to counter this new and dangerous threat. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to our petition, urging President Obama to reject the creation of a Palestinian state. A move that not only violates the UN's own charter, but international law as well. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardacani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're going to be talking more about the Middle East situation in the next segment of the broadcast, but I wanted to bring everybody up to date on a victory that we received yesterday, very important, involving these series of cases we filed involving these HHS mandates. Frank Mannion is senior counsel for the ACLJ, heads up our group there in Kentucky, and Jeff Surtees, also a senior ACLJ counsel, has been working on these cases. Jeff wrote the brief on this case, but let's go and start, Frank, first, before I get to Jeff on the specifics, on the background. Who are we representing? What was the issue in the case?
Sure, Jay. We represent Frank O'Brien, who's a St. Louis business owner. He runs a company that deals with the mining and the processing of ceramic and other heat-resistant materials, mainly for industrial uses, things like car parts, parts of engines, things like that. O'Brien has 87 employees. He's a devout Catholic. He does not believe that he can, in good conscience, pay for such things as part of an employee health plan as contraception and specifically abortion-inducing drugs, so-called morning-after pills or Plan B, that cause the death of a living human being shortly after fertilization. Along comes the HHS mandate, which says that Frank O'Brien and every other business owner in the country who has a group health benefits plan must pay for those kinds of things. It's the first time the government has done this, certainly the first time the federal government has done it. Other states have similar mandates, but virtually every state has a broad, some broader than others, conscience exemption. And Missouri, the state where O'Brien lives, has a contraceptive mandate, but has a total exemption for religious objectors. So he was fine up until Kathleen Sebelius and President Obama decided to coerce him and other believers. He came to us, we filed the first lawsuit on behalf of a private business owner challenging this thing back in March of this year. A couple of months ago, the federal district court there in St. Louis threw our case out to the surprise of, I think, everybody in the country on both sides of the issue.
And what was the basis of the reason they tossed the case at the trial court level?
The trial judge said that this mandate, which says to people like Frank O'Brien, you must pay for things that you consider sinful or morally objectionable, was not a substantial burden on his religious beliefs. Nobody had made that argument.
Yeah.
The Department of Justice barely mentioned that argument because they knew that it was ridiculous. Unfortunately, this court bought that argument and really kind of created that argument for the government and threw the case out on that basis. We filed an appeal before the ink on that opinion was even dry, and yesterday The Court of Appeals granted an injunction pending appeal against the enforcement of the HHS mandate against Frank O'Brien and his company.
Yeah, so, Jeff, you wrote the brief on that case. What did we say in the brief? What was the argument? Obviously, a great congratulations to everybody. A great victory here at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. And it is the first, Jeff, if I'm correct here, it's the first appellate victory on the HHS issue.
We argue, Jay, that the district court opinion was wrong to find that there was no substantial burden on the religious exercise rights of Frank O'Brien and his company. And we argued to the Eighth Circuit that it would violate all principles of equity to deny an injunction pending our appeal in this case when the HHS mandate does not apply to 191 million individuals nationwide. It just wouldn't make any sense to say that Frank O'Brien and his 87 employees have to comply with the HHS mandate, but not 191 million individuals across the country.
All right. So what exactly did we ask the Eighth Circuit? Because this it's highly unusual to get an injunction like this. What did we ask?
Jay, we asked the court to enter an injunction against the defendants here, the government's enforcement of the mandate, against our clients, Frank O'Brien and O'Brien Industrial Holdings, during the pendency of their appeal. And so while this case is on appeal here before the Eighth Circuit, because we have appealed the erroneous decision of the court below, while this is all pending before the Eighth Circuit, Frank O'Brien can now follow his religious beliefs in choosing a health plan that accords with his religious beliefs.
So, next question. The government lost here. So let me go first back to Jeff, and then I'm going to Frank. What is the government's next move? Because I want people to understand we're fighting the United States Department of Justice, the federal government on this, the Obama administration, and yesterday we won at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. What are the government's options here?
Jay, the government's option here, as far as the injunction pending appeal, is none. There's no avenue or procedural maneuver to appeal this.
Can they ask for a rehearing on bonk?
Not something on an administrative nature of this
okay.
of this type, Jay.
All right. So
now they just have to sit and take this decision while our appeal is heard by the Eighth Circuit.
So Frank, what do you anticipate happening next? Now it goes back to the is it going to be now the full appeal before the three judge panel of the Eighth Circuit? When will that go forward?
Well, the government's brief on the main appeal is due around December 13th. We then get 10 days to reply to that. Case will then get scheduled for oral argument. I suspect it will be a fairly short schedule. Let's face it, the courts of appeals know these cases are going to end up at the Supreme Court. And just as they did with the challenges to the overall Health Care Act, they put these things on kind of a fast track. So I would not be surprised to find us arguing this appeal early February with a decision, you know, within 45 to 60 days after that. And, of course, there's cases like this all over the place in many different circuits. We've got at least two others filed, and we've got another half dozen we're juggling right now, getting ready to file. And other organizations and other firms are filing them, too. So the O'Brien case is first. It's first of all the cases, including the nonprofit cases, on the track. And as of yesterday, we like the way it's going.
So let me ask you this, both of you this. The Supreme Court sent out a grant vacating remand order on Monday to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals to rehear a portion of the Liberty University case. Jeff, what do you think that means for Obamacare? Some commentators are saying, it's not going to mean much. It's going to be a tough claim to make. It should have been looked at now, but not serious. Or others are saying it could have a serious impact. What do you think?
It very well could have a serious impact. I mean, we're going to have the Fourth Circuit is now going to, among many other things, a RFRA claim. Challenge the Religious Freedom Restoration Act against Obamacare.
Yeah, that's the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And is that on the entire Obamacare or just those portions like the mandates?
Well, it's not on the HHS mandate, which is something
right.
that needs to be clarified.
Yeah.
You know, the original story that was spread all over
the
internet was inaccurate. It made it sound like the HHS mandate was going to be before the Fourth Circuit. That's not. But it is the other major portions of Obamacare that, you know, may or may not have merit to it, but it's very interesting and encouraging that the issue is still alive in the courts.
Yeah, I think the playout on this is going to be significant. All right, now we've got a couple of other lawsuits that we filed on this. Let's go through a few of those and a new one that's about to be filed. What's coming up that we're anticipating filing shortly?
Actually, we've been retained by the Drury Hotel Company to file a challenge to the HHS mandate. something we hope to do as early as next week. People probably are familiar with that company. It's a company. It's a family-owned company. It's been around for probably 80 years.
They just built a huge Drury Plaza right near our media center here.
Right. Very much a family-friendly company, strong religious beliefs by the owners, and they, too, do not want to pay for drugs that cause early abortions. That case will be filed in the Eastern District of Missouri.
Now, people need to understand, Frank, these are not small companies. They've got 130 different locations. These are billion-dollar businesses. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is a big deal. And we're hearing from business owners, small and large, all over the country. We've got, as I said, probably a half a dozen cases in various stages of preparation. The Drury case will probably be the next one we file.
Where will that be filed?
Friday, Ed White's going to be arguing an injunction motion on another case that's already in court.
Where's that one?
This one is in East St. Louis, which is actually the Southern District of Illinois, and that's part of the Seventh Circuit. So that's a whole new avenue of attack that we have
there. And the Drury case is going to be where?
The Drury case will be in Eastern District of Missouri, Cape Girardeau Division.
Yeah, so that will be Cape Girardeau Division. That would be what circuit as well?
That's 8th Circuit.
8th, yeah. So, wow.
So that court obviously will look to what the 8th Circuit did yesterday in the O'Brien case.
All right, Jeff, really quickly here. You anticipate, this goes to the Supreme Court ultimately. What's your guess?
I think that the Supreme Court will vote to uphold religious liberty
and
say that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act applies in these cases with full force and that there is no compelling governmental interest that supports the HHS mandate. I think the government is going to lose this one, Jay, before the United States Supreme Court.
All right, folks, next week on the broadcast, we're going to have Jeff and Frank back, and we're going to really get into this in great detail and let you know what you can do to be involved in these cases. But again, a huge victory. We appreciate it, Frank and Jeff. And Ed White have done a magnificent job. They've been working with our teams around the country on this. And, of course, anytime you win at the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals, that's going to be great. Hey, coming up on the broadcast, folks, you're going to want to stay tuned. We're going to be interviewing from our movie, The Export. We've got some great interviews, very timely, on the situation with Iran. We've covered a lot of topics today, so you're going to want to stay tuned to that. And, again, ACLJ.org for updated information, ACLJ.org. If you want to sign on that petition for Israel, it's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Of Pastor Youssef Nardacani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. A new threat to Israel is growing. Two terrorist groups, Hamas and the Palestinian Liberation Organization, lead the Palestinian government. They have a stated goal of destroying the Israeli people. Now they are pressing the United Nations to grant it statehood. A new terrorist-led nation on Israel's border could be a deadly threat. The ACLJ is launching a global effort with offices in New York, Jerusalem, and Washington, D.C. The ACLJ is uniquely positioned to stand with Israel and work to counter this new and dangerous threat. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to our petition, urging President Obama to reject the creation of a Palestinian state. A move that not only violates the UN's own charter, but international law as well. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255.
1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Continue this special series we put together for you. You've been watching the news. You see the Middle East is in absolute uproar. Is the revolt really a move for democracy, or is it Iran agitating and trying to get more control for Islamic jihadist? You hope it's for real democracy, but the reality is starting to sink in as the Muslim Brotherhood's now gaining a political foothold in Egypt, which used to be an ally of Israel and the United States. In fact, Egypt has recently said within the last few weeks that they want to open relationships up with Iran. They let an Iranian ship pass through Gaza Strip, right through the Suez Canal to Syria. First time that's happened since 1979. So the region's in turmoil, but we want to understand and have you understand what's at stake for freedom and liberty. It'll give you a better understanding of what's going on in the Middle East. Let's go to the border of Lebanon. This is an active military base. Let's talk to the captain in the Israeli Defense Force and get his perspective.
What's the primary task that you're doing right here, that your unit's doing right here?
We're keeping the peace here on the border. And like you can see, the border in the Israeli towns is like a two-minute run away. So just seeing that everything here is peaceful and they can live quietly.
So how far is Lebanon from here is where?
Lebanon, you can see the road over there, that's a border. And you can see the Lebanon houses on the mountaintop, and the Israeli towns underneath. You can see it's like jog away.
Yeah. So we've had this situation. We talked about this with the lack of uniforms. It's a different kind of warfare. They're hiding out in villages.
Yes.
How do you go about defending your country when they're engaging this kind of
activity?
Well,
like I said before, it's very hard. We try to learn on a daily basis what kind of movement is a citizen movement, what kind of movement doesn't serve any cause except Hezbollah tasks. And we know from all certain places what houses they own, what houses they would like to take over in a battle day.
Is it house to house?
Yes. They can. They live
among the
citizens. You can see a Hezbollah house, regular people house, and we had something in battle days before. They tend to just leave the villages, and it becomes a little war zone inside the village.
Let me ask you this: one of the aspects we're looking at this, looking over this issue, is the fact that we're asserting that Iran is actually engaging in this war through Hezbollah. Is that the sense that you have as your training?
Sure, that's what we learn also. All the weapons and the training is all Iranian money and techniques.
So this is a proxy war for Iran?
Yeah.
I want to give you a bit of a different perspective in this next segment of the broadcast. And again, this is a very special presentation we're making. I encourage you to get that DVD, The Export, as well as the booklet on Sharia law. But Renan Geesen, earlier in the broadcast, talked about the political and military realities of what's going on, a lieutenant colonel in the Israeli Defense Force Reserve, former spokesman for Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. I thought it would also be a really good opportunity to hear from a journalist. In fact, the leading investigative journalist in Israel, Renan Bergman. He is an expert on Iran. He's an expert on military preparedness. He's an expert on Islam. Let's take a listen to my interview with Renan Bergman.
Here's one of the issues, the kind of the subtext of this. People say, well, if there is a war with Iran, who's Iran fighting? Who is the enemy of Iran?
Iran is fighting for a regional hegemony. Iran is fighting to have a nuclear military capability. And Iran is fighting to copycat, to imitate the religious revolution to other places. Now, this is in direct contradiction to U.S. interest in the area and to Israeli national security. Because if Iran prevails, if Iran has the upper hand, Hezbollah would rule Lebanon, Hamas would rule the Palestinian Authority, and from their point of view, preferably the whole of Palestine, the whole of Israel. And Iran would have the nuclear shield, the insurance policy to the survival of the regime, preventing Israel and the United States taking steps against it.
Is Iran the largest sponsor of terror worldwide, independent of their nuclear ambitions?
With no doubt. Iran is the founder, the establisher, and the supporter, the main supporter of Hezbollah, who is the leading political and military and jihadist group in Lebanon. Iran supports Hamas, who is the leading political and jihadist group in the Palestinian Authority and the Palestinian people. Iran is supporting the jihadists in Iraq, in Afghanistan. And Iran is supportive of Al-Qaeda. And there's a new lawsuit that was just submitted in the U.S. New York District Court with a lot of evidence suggesting that Iran was assisting and abetting Al-Qaeda, helping Al-Qaeda reaching the capability to perform September 11.
So we're talking about a direct link between Al-Qaeda and Iran, because the link between Hezbollah and Iran is very well established. In fact, you've documented this in your book. In 2005, the evidence you've seen established that, in fact, Hezbollah were planning to utilize apartments in New York City to wreak terror, to bring terror to the United States.
That is correct. Iman Mounia, the supreme military leader of Hezbollah, who was taken out by Mossad in 2007, was planning to have sleeping cells inside New York, preparing for either a strike, a U.S. military strike on Iran, or any other reason to call for a retaliation against the United States, and therefore have a sleeping cells that would be able to perform outrageous terrorist attacks inside New York. The FBI found about that together with Israeli Mossad. They were able to trace down the cells. Unfortunately, a leakage, either from Israeli or American intelligence, led Mounia understand that something is wrong, and he withdraw his forces. Mm. But still, Israel identified at least 35 different sleeper cells of Hezbollah in Iran, worldwide, including in the United States, waiting, having files ready for in case they need to retaliate for a U.S. or Israeli strike on Iran.
So for those people in the United States that are watching this right now, Iran, through its agents, through Al-Qaeda, through its relationship with Hezbollah, through its funding mechanisms, has the United States in its target scopes.
Iran sees the United States and U.S. soil as a prime target. And I would say this, even if Israel decides to strike alone in Iran against Iranian nuclear facilities, and this is the link between Iranian support to jihadist group and Iranian attempts to acquire nuclear weapon, if Israel decides to attack, the Iranian would see the United States as to be blamed, as holding the responsibility together with Israel, even if the United States did not participate.
Skip Ash has drafted a document, which is our response to the resolution. Skip, give us, we're running really close on time here. Give us a quick overview of this right now, what this is and what we're saying here.
Okay, I think first and foremost, Jay, the fact is that the UN General Assembly has no authority with respect to statehood or non-statehood.
Let me be clear here. That means the UN does not have the authority to create a state.
That's absolutely correct. So if they do so or attempt to do so or designate Palestine as a state, they in effect will be taking a political decision, which is going to be very provocative, and one which the UN clearly recognizes they have no authority to do.
We've got a legal position paper that's saying what the UN is about to do here violates international law. If you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110, how do you feel about a divided Jerusalem? And folks, we've got to get to 200,000 signatures on this petition. You go to aclj.org, or you call right now to protect Israel in this. 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Call now, 877-989-2255.
Stand with Israel and work to counter this new and dangerous threat. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to our petition, urging President Obama to reject the creation of a Palestinian state, a move that not only violates the UN's own charter, but international law as well. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.